I would never walk out of anywhere and say, I'm an email expert. And I don't think anybody that calls himself an expert in any marketing category actually is an expert. The reason I say that is everything is moving so fast. And within your own company, your own business, you always have to be testing things.
Welcome to Solopreneur, the one-person business podcast for professionals ready to take charge of their company of one and reclaim their freedom. Join us as we bring you inspiring stories, invaluable insights, and practical strategies from successful solopreneurs and industry experts. Get ready to feel empowered to create a thriving business that aligns with your unique goals and allows you to live life on your own terms. Here are your hosts, Joe Rando and Carly Reese.
Welcome to Solopreneur, the one-person business podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Carly Reeves.
And I'm Joe Rando.
And Joe, our guest today needs no introduction. If you are in the marketing world, you know who this guy is. He is one of the leading voices in it. He is also one of the top experts in email marketing, which is what we are going to get to today. Joe and I follow him. We listen to his podcast, LinkedIn. We've attended his events. He is wonderful. And if you don't just want it for the content, tune into everything he says just for his personality. Jay Schwedelson, our guest, is just, he's like a cup of coffee anytime you consume any of his content, whether it's listening to him speak or whatever. He's just a jolt of energy. We can't get enough of what he produces. So we are so excited to have him on the show. So much so that Joe is wearing one of his sweatshirts. And we'll let you talk about that. But pink is not usually your color, Joe, and you can totally pull it off. You're rocking it. And Jay, welcome to the show.
I got to tell you, I'm going to take this. I'm going to make my kids watch that intro because they might actually think I'm remotely cool. Probably not, but I can't thank you enough. I'm super stoked to be here. We're going to have a lot of fun. And yes, Joe is wearing a very bright pink sweatshirt from our Guru Conference event. I appreciate you repping the brand. That's a super large free virtual event, and you rock, and Carly rocks, and we all rock, and we're going to have fun.
And we're all parents, and we're all going to look cool today on this podcast. Jay, let's just start from the beginning. For people that don't know basically your background, how did you first become, we're going to talk about email marketing. You are such, we're talking about guru events, so I'm going to call you a guru for marketing. You are well-versed in so many areas of it, but today we're going to focus on email specifically. So what led you to become the authority in that field?
Well, I don't know, you know, if I'm that, but I grew up, around in a marketing family. So my mom was a school teacher. My dad worked at a magazine, and they decided in the '70s that, hey, they didn't like their jobs, and they decided to try to start, what was then a direct mail business in my garage. And I was very young. I was very short. So I was like five. And, that's what they did. And our garage was this business, this direct mail business. And every night at dinner, that's what we talked about at the dinner table, was marketing and return on investment. And you spend a dollar, you try to make $2. And that's what I learned. And so in college, I tried to start up an internet business. It went sort of well, sort of not great. That was in like the early 90s. And then coming out of that, I was like, you know, email was just starting to get going, right? Now it seems ridiculous, but it was just starting to get going. You know, people like a Prodigy account and a CompuServe account and all this stuff. And I was like, you know, this is exciting. This is interesting. This is like, for me, direct mail, but it's now digital. So I decided to go full steam on that. You know, fast forward, I have this agency called Outcome Media, where we're with business and consumer clients. We don't just do email. We do direct mail. We do podcast advertising, digital media, all that stuff. But the thing that really catapulted me in the email space was that, gosh, about 15 years ago, so many of our clients were coming to us and saying, well, how do you write a subject line for the emails that we're doing with you all? And our team would be like, well, do this or do that. I'm like, well, this is annoying. We need to do something better than just saying do this or do that. So I'm like, why don't we make a tool? So I was sitting on my couch one night, and I go on GoDaddy, and I register the URL subjectline.com. And I'm like, let's make a tool around writing subject lines, which seemed ridiculous at the time. And we put this tool up that used all of our data. And so any marketer can go to this website, which they still can today, put in their subject line, or it'd give you a score, how good or bad it was, and it would help you to improve your campaigns. That really got some heavy usage. We've checked over 15 million subject lines now, and that kind of put me more and more into kind of in the email space and trying to come out with best practices and information. So kind of one thing led to the other, and I've never done anything different than just be around marketing. So I'm passionate about it. I think anybody can do it. And I think it's just fun to test stuff.
Well, your passion is so contagious. And I know you have opinions on a lot of things when it comes to email subject lines and everything these days. So let's actually start there. What are people doing wrong in the world of subject lines? And what, as of today, it's January 15, 2024, what do they need to be focusing on?
I'd say there's two things that people are doing wrong. One is listening to people like me, okay? I would never walk out of anywhere and say, I'm an email expert. And I don't think anybody that calls themselves an expert in any marketing category actually is an expert. And the reason I say that is everything is moving so fast. And within your own company, your own business, you always have to be testing things. But one of the things that email experts still put out there is this big myth that what you write in your subject line can cause you to go to the junk folder or the spam folder. You know, 10 or 15 years ago, if you put the word free in your subject line, if you capitalized the word in your subject line, if you used a question mark or an exclamation point in your subject line, 10, 15 years ago, all of those things would cause you to go to the junk folder because the receiving email systems were looking out for capitalization and certain words like the word free and question marks and dollar signs and all this stuff. You were getting filtered because of content. That has changed. You don't get filtered anymore. You don't go to the junk folder, the spam folder because of content. And if you went online right now and you Googled, you know, things to avoid in the subject line, you'd see all these lists of spam trigger words, spamming words to avoid. And it's not reality. You don't get filtered for that reason. You get filtered for people not opening up your emails and clicking on them and whatnot. So the first thing that I think people are doing wrong is unfortunately relying on best practice information that they're finding online. Which is usually outdated, even though it has today's date on it. The second most important thing in your subject line that you always want to be thinking about is the number one thing that drives performance in your subject line is having some form of urgency, always. If you have an offer, if it's a newsletter, that's different. But if you're sending out something, you're trying to get something sold, whether you're a business or a consumer marketer, you need to have some form of urgency because we people don't react to subject lines that are just static, right? We want to see something that says 2 days left, last chance, only 24 hours, whatever your offer is, right? You want to include urgency. And even if you don't have something that's expiring, let's say you're promoting a tip sheet or a guide or whatever, and that's always going to be there, you still want to say things like don't miss out or hurry, because we do not react. We do not open up messages that do not have some form of urgency in that subject line. So those are the two things in my mind that I think are most important.
What would you say drives you the craziest these days when you see it in a subject line?
I think the thing that drives me bananas is thinking that people will read your whole subject line. Anything in the second half of your subject line is irrelevant. You could literally write in the second half of your subject line, you're a loser, okay? And it won't matter, because no one will actually read it. No one's going to get to the second half of the subject line. And the reason I say that is that a lot of times marketers make the mistake of, they'll put the most important thing in their subject line at the end. You know, that 20% off discount or the webinar registration ends today. Whatever it is, they put it in the second half. Nobody reads the whole subject line. So what you do in those first few characters are all that matter, right? If you capitalize the first word of your subject line, you'll see an increase in your open rate. Okay, if you start your subject line with a number, you see an increase in open rate. When you do these things at the beginning of your subject line, they stand out, they get the person's attention, and that's how you win. And don't put stuff in that second half of your subject line because that's where responses go to die.
That is such a great point. And I think some people think they just want to be catchy, especially these days with ChatGPT. They're like, well, ChatGPT said delve into blah, 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 emoji, 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 everything. And that I think they're kind of taking it from AI and putting it in there thinking that that's accurate, and it's just not.
But emoji wise, I know I've made fun of ChatGPT for overdoing it with the emojis, but you were a believer in emojis in subject line, right, Jay? I mean, you think emojis can be powerful in subject lines, correct?
150,000%, and I'll tell you why, for both business and consumer marketers. Now, look, it's a little obvious for a consumer marketer. Like, oh yeah, why wouldn't I have a nice little fun graphical symbol? You know, if it's Valentine's Day coming up, I'm not going to put a heart in it. Why wouldn't you do that? First of all, you should. It 100% increases open rate performance, the percentage of people opening up your emails. It's proven a million times over that it does. on the business side, marketers think, oh, I wouldn't use an emoji. You know, I promote to, you know, a regulated industry. I promote to healthcare. I promote to legal. I can't use an emoji. That's embarrassing. That's not reality, because we are all just humans. And when we do the social scroll in our inbox, what we're trying to do is what can we do as a marketer to get our message to stand out against everybody else's? And we have to stop, you know, emoji has a ridiculous name. It's almost got bad PR. If it had a different name, right? If on the business side, it was called a business icon, you would use it. Like, oh, I want to put a business icon in my subject line, right? And you could start your subject line with a calendar emoji. Let's say you're promoting an event, or just a check mark, and it stands out and it works. So emojis are super powerful. And if you're not testing them, you should. I mean, you shouldn't use them on all your emails, because then you become wallpaper. But if it's not part of your arsenal, I think you're leaving a really valuable tool on the table.
Yeah,
this is so absolutely great. I'm working on an email right now, like right before we started this, and I'm changing the whole thing.
Right, it's all my fault. And you know, it's all
good.
About testing.
It's good, good.
You know, we talk today and we rattle out, you know, 10 different ideas, and listeners are like, oh, I'm going to go try all that stuff. And then some of them work and some of them don't. You can't be like, oh, it didn't work. Those three people, they have no idea what they're talking about. That's not marketing. You know, it's always about testing. And what you test today, if it works or didn't work, test it again in 3-6 months, because literally it's always changing.
It's so funny that you said that, Joe, because I sent you like 5 emails or so to review last night that I want to send out today or tomorrow. And now I'm like, hold that thought. I'll send you an edited version in a few hours. All 5 of them. That's okay. I'll deal with that. Well, so, okay, let's say people nail the subject line. They go to your tool. They're like, typed it in, like rave reviews. Let's do this. What are you seeing people doing wrong within the email itself? Because it's one thing to click through to the email. It's another thing to get them to convert on whatever your CTA is. So what are your thoughts there? Again, early January 2024.
Yeah, I would say the first thing I would think about is how visually boring your message looks. What I mean by that is, let's say you're promoting something and you have copy in there. You're writing something. You want people to take advantage of. We just did this whole study where we looked at literally the number of lines of text in a paragraph in an email, right? So if you open up an email and there's a little paragraph in there, if it has 3 lines of text versus 5 lines of text, just visually, we see the 3 lines of text lead to like over a 20% increase in click-through rate versus 5 lines of text visually. Because it's like when you get a text message from a friend, right, or a relative, and it's got a big block of text. I can't look at that right now. You know, like you put it off to the side. You're like, I'm going to come back to this later because I don't know what that drama is. I just don't have time for it. And that's somebody that you care about, that's your friend or relative. But when you get an email that you barely cared about, that you barely opened, and then visually you see a big block of text, you're immediately like, ugh, and you just don't even read it and you move on. It doesn't matter what it says. Could say you won the lottery. It's irrelevant, right? So visually you want to think about, how can you be more concise? Because having that 3 lines of text with maybe a few bullets, that is how you win. And I think marketers are so excited to share whatever it is they want to say, they don't realize that nobody actually cares, right? They're just trying to move along really, really quickly. So that's the body copy. And then, you know, we talk about CTAs and all sorts of other stuff. The body copy to me is really important.
Well, let's do talk about CTAs because before we get to the body copy, where do you stand with videos and emails and gifts and all that? Or are you thinking that the as minimal as you can get, the better?
No, so that's an interesting question. First of all, if it's a consumer email, love gifts. Animate gifts for the win. No deliverability problems. That is not a video. An animated gif is really just 3 or 4 images that are tied together. You'll have no deliverability problems. And it's really fun to have stuff moving around on a consumer-oriented email. On a business email, especially if you're trying to get video consumed, right? You have an on-demand video, you have a short-form video, you have a webinar on-demand, whatever it is you want to get people to digest, right? You have this video, you want people to watch it. There is one way that works better than any other way using email to get people to watch a video. And it is not trying to embed a video in email. Don't embed a video into email. That's weird. You're going to have deliverability problems. I don't care what anybody says. It's strange. The other tactic that people do that I don't think is the best tactic is they make an animated GIF of like the start of the video. and they make it look like you open up the video, this business email, it looks like the video is getting going. And marketers are like, well, we'll do that. And that way people will click on it and they'll want to see more. Right? That's kind of a go-to move that a lot of business marketers do. That's not the one that we see work the best. What we see work the best is you take a screenshot, an image screenshot of the start of your video. And then you take a big red play button and you stick it on top of that image. Okay. And then you send out the email, okay, with the picture of just, it's literally one image with the big red play button on it. And then what do? When we see a big image with the big play button on it, we cannot stop ourselves, right? We are trained. It's like Pavlov. We are trained to click that button. We click the button, takes you to a destination page of that same image, same play button, and we just hit the button again and we watch it and we play. When you follow that path, we see that to be exponential increase in terms of video consumption that you're promoting via email. So that to me is the number one way to go.
I love that. Yeah, and it makes so much sense. And it's funny because we do just do it mindlessly. It's amazing how much autopilot we get into with these kind of things. Well, Sue, let's
watch
go from that.
Video.
It's so true though, right? It's like we don't even realize what we're trained to do. It's weird.
But there was an arrow on it.
Right. You know? Exactly.
Well, so let's get into the CTA because I feel like at one point, and I'm going back, 2016 at this point, but you need to put a hyperlink to your CTA in the top paragraph. You need to include the CTA at the bottom. You need to do this, blah, blah, blah. And I feel like for years, people follow that. And I still see that to this day. And I'm just curious, like, what is working in CTAs? How often do you have to put it in there? What format? Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, for sure. You know, listen, you want to have more, not less. Okay. The key thing about your call to action buttons, the actual buttons that people clicking on to go to take advantage of the offer, is I think the biggest mistake marketers make is the words on the buttons, the actual words on the buttons, right? So let's say you are promoting a webinar and you send out your email and you have your button in the email. What does the button say? 9 times out of 10, it says register. Okay. That's what it says. That's garbage. Okay. What we see is that when a call action button is written in the first person, we actually see click-through rates increase over 25%. What I mean by that is, let's say you get a webinar promotion. One webinar promotion says register. The other webinar promotion says save my seat, or it says I want in, or it says yes, I can't wait. What are you going to click on first, register or save my seat? Right? It gets you excited. It's that action of you getting involved. And the same thing with on the consumer side, is it a buy now, which is a benefit to the sender, right? Or save now, which is a benefit to me, you know, the recipient. Thinking about the language on those buttons. And by the way, it could be really long. Your call action button doesn't need to just be 2 words. It could be 10 words, doesn't matter, right? So the language on those buttons can have a huge impact on your overall performance, and it costs you nothing. It takes 3 seconds, and it's like, why not? So I'm a big fan of testing everything with those call to action buttons.
Okay, that is a great point. And I want to take a step back for a second because I feel like all this is such useful information, provided you have a list to send to. And if you send an email to one person, it's like, well, who really cares if you get really in the weeds with this? And so for solopreneurs, they're a one-man show. They're doing this all by themselves. How would you recommend they start building and growing their list so that they can be effective with email?
See, I really love that question because I feel that pain. And a lot of times you'll hear stuff like, you know, go grow your list. Like, okay, how? literally, how? Like, what? How do I do that? And so here's what I would do. Right. If I'm starting from literally zero and nobody knows who I am, here's what I do. I would create a piece of content, at least one, that is really compelling. Like give away the store. Okay. Whatever it is that you got in your brain, or whatever that piece of content that's gonna be the most useful out there, and you make this, you know, 2-page thingamabob. You know, for me, we started with this thing that we have an email calendar, the best and worst days to send out emails. It's this calendar that we send out. And we use that to really drive a lot of list building, right? So you get a piece of content that you think is really exciting to people. You make it sound really cool too, all right? And you have to share that everywhere, on every social you possibly can. And then most important thing you can do is make sure that you have a pop-up contact capture on your website. Somebody comes to your website and that pop-up pops up and says, hey, do you want the latest guide to blah, 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 or do you want the 10% off discount, blah, blah, and you say, put in your email address and we're going to give it to you. That pop-up contact capture, you will be shocked at how fast you will grow your list. And out there, somebody listening is like, ooh, those are annoying. I don't like those. I would never fill that out. Well, guess what? About 10% of everyone that sees it actually does fill it out. And what never happens is people just abandon your website. What they do is when they see the pop-up and they don't like it, they click that little X on the top right-hand corner and they go on to your site. But what you get is you get the person's email address. And that's the most valuable asset in your company. So create that piece of content, share it everywhere you possibly can, and do the pop-up contact capture, and you will grow your list.
So I have a question for you on that. You said that collecting email address is the most valuable asset for your company. So the audience that we're talking to today, they are running every aspect of their business. They are doing operations, they're doing marketing, sales, everything. What emphasis should they be putting on email marketing from a priority standpoint versus the rest of their business? Is that a huge deal for growing their whole business, or can they focus on other areas and kind of put email as like a secondary thing?
So that's a good question. It's not that you should be focusing on email marketing, but what you have to have everything focus on is collecting the email address. No matter what you're doing, you have to be collecting and always be asking for an email address. When you're sleeping and when you wake up, there should be some mechanisms that are going on in your business that are out there trying to get more email addresses for your business. It is absolutely going to be the linchpin to everything that you do. Like, people try to be everywhere. Like, okay, well, we need to be on Facebook and we need to be on X and we need to be on TikTok. And we need to be on LinkedIn and we need to be all of it. No, you don't. No, it's irrelevant. Okay, that's irrelevant. Yeah, okay, maybe pick one platform. Be on LinkedIn, great. Focus on that. But more importantly than any of that is you must always be collecting, always be asking. So when you are ready to do email marketing, you have somewhere to market to. So it's not that you should be focused on email marketing, but you must be focused on collecting.
Yeah, that's a great point, a great differentiator there. And so to piggyback off of that, so solopreneurs, they don't have a lot of time. They're spread thin, but they want to, a lot of the ones that we talk to, they want to keep learning, they want to keep growing. So with email marketing, if they reach that point after building that list, they should be looking at analytics. You're so great about analytics with email marketing for your company. You guys are doing it all the time. How much focus should they put on that and how often to get better results?
So analytics is an interesting thing. One thing I would think about, especially when I was a solopreneur, is don't worry about industry averages. Don't worry about what you read online. Who cares? Who cares what the random industry average is, whatever industry, and that's in terms of marketing metrics. All that matters is beating yourself. It's like being like a swimmer. You want to beat your time. You want to get faster. You want to beat your time, right? And what I mean by that is, and it's not just relegated to email, it could be anything. You want to benchmark yourself. Okay, so today I send out my email newsletter. I got a 30% open rate and got a 1% click-through rate. Okay, next week we send out the newsletter again. What am I going to do to get that open rate up? I want to beat myself. I want to get it to 34% and 2%. And what you want to do is benchmark yourself, not just email in general. Marketers make the mistake to go, our email marketing gets a 25% open rate and a 3% click-through rate or whatever. That's not the way you want to look at it. You want to take your different types of emails you send out. You send emails out that's your newsletter. You send out offer emails. You send out transactional emails of some kind. You want to bucket each of them. And then you want to benchmark for yourself, how are we doing in each of these buckets? And then every time you hit send, how am I going to do a little bit better? What am I going to test to do a little bit better? So I wouldn't get caught up in, oh, wow, I'm in the automotive sector. And I read the industry averages of 40% open rate, and I'm at 20%. I'm in a nervous breakdown. That's irrelevant. First of all, industry averages are garbage. And it only matters if you're doing better in your own organization.
Mm-hmm. that's a great point. Well, and I want to ask you there, you talked about those buckets of types of emails. Where do you stand on promotional versus educational? Because I think for a while it was like 75% of the time do educational and then ask for the other. So where do you stand?
So I think that, and we all struggle with this because, you know, everybody always has stuff they want to promote. And we do. I mean, I do, right? Everybody does. But if you're not, and it's also with your social posts as well, you have to go into some of your marketing, a chunk of your marketing with no agenda whatsoever, where I'm going to send out this email, this piece of content, because it's valuable to my database. I'm going to put this social post on LinkedIn or whatever because it's valuable to people I'm connected with. And you have to do that probably at least 50% of the time, where you are just giving. You know, like Gary Vee, he says, you give, and then ask, right? You're giving out content, and then you ask. Because when you do that, you build up that credibility with whoever it is you're communicating with, and you're not going to be wallpaper to them because they are going to want to see what you have to say. And then over time, they're like, wow, you know what? I'm going to do this company solid because they give me so much stuff for free that I'm going to check out whatever it is, you know, that they're kind of selling or promoting. I see it in my own business. You know, we put on these really big events that are all free. We share a lot of content that's free. And then once in a blue moon, I'm like, hey, does anybody want to work with me? And I'll get a lot of people saying, yeah, I want to talk to you because you're cool. You give out so much free stuff. And so that give, and then ask, I think is a real path to success.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure we don't miss something because we've talked about the email and everything, but the actual body, you know, you said don't make the paragraphs too big. I get that. You know, three lines, not five, not four. What about the number of words, Jay? You know, we tend to write emails and feel like we have to say a lot of stuff in order to make it, you know, an actual communication. What's your take on the number of words we're using in emails typically versus what they should be?
Yeah, so we actually just did some research on that. And what you really want to think about in terms of how many words are in your email is you want to think about, first off, who you're marketing to. Are you marketing to existing customers or prospects or people that you want to have become, you know, paying customers? And the reason those are two different buckets and the reason you have to think about in terms of the volume of words that you're using is existing customers sort of like you, sort of care about you, and prospects could care less about you, pretty much. And so what we see is the secret sauce number is roughly 75 words. Especially to prospects, that if you have more than 75 words in email to non-current customers, to prospects, and you're more than 75 words, you see click-through rate and performance fall off into the garbage can. So you've got to keep it really, really short. When you go to existing customers, you can go over 100 words, right around that mark is about right. I mean, we're not talking about newsletters. These are offer-related emails. Newsletters are a whole other game, but the moral to the story is you got to keep it really short because people barely want to read what you're putting together. So it's a great question.
If you saw me looking off screen and seemingly typing, it's because I was literally just typing those notes into my phone for those emails that I need to resend to you, Joe, to review before tomorrow. The literal note to self. Well, so your company, you guys do such a great job staying on top of all these things. So what are your predictions for email in 2024?
Well, Two, unfortunately, there's two things that make all of our jobs harder. The economy, while it's doing probably better than some expected, it's still going to be somewhat of a rough year for the economy. Why do I bring that up? And marketing budgets will likely be cut this year. That's the nature of the beast. And when marketing budgets are cut, you look to the channels that give you the greatest reach at the lowest cost. Right. So you can't run more search ads when you don't have the budget. Right. If you post on social, on your organic social, that's great, but only reach about 15% of your network. So you can't do direct mail because that's real expensive. So what's the one channel that costs you very, very little, you know, in order to reach your entire population? And that is email. So in any down economy, we see email being more heavily used. Which means the reason I said it's difficult for all of us, that the inbox is going to be even more saturated, right? Which means we're going to have to do even more tactics with the subject line and all this other stuff to stand out. So be on the lookout for that. And then the other thing in the second half of the year that I don't think our marketers really have factored into their plans is that we are in a presidential election cycle. And starting in about August all the way through till November, we are going to be, all of us, going to be inundated with marketing from every angle. I mean, it's just going to, I don't care who you like or don't like, doesn't matter. We're all going to be inundated. And what tends to happen in a presidential election cycle is that we start to tune out marketing in general because we're like, oh, I can't take it. I can't look at my inbox. I can't go on social media. I can't look at the TV, right? And so marketing performance starts to get kind of lessened as you get closer and closer to the election. So I think that we're in for some headwinds that marketers are going to really have to be pretty, do some fancy footwork to stay ahead of it all, unfortunately.
Wow, those are such great points. I am a marketer and I hadn't even factored in the election, which I think I'm also just in denial that it's already back around. So maybe that's why I haven't thought about it because it just happened. Those are great points and definitely take note, audience, because that will be, like you said, a headwind coming towards this. Wow. Well, Jay, I feel like I could talk to you forever. I was thinking about the questions that we have for you today, and the list goes on and on and on. And it's just primarily selfishly driven because we just want to keep you on the line. But we do want to be respectful of your time today. And so we want to end on a question that we ask all of our guests. What is your favorite quote about success?
Well, there was one quote, and it wasn't even a quote, it was advice that I got that probably changed my business life more than any other. I think that we all have, at least I do, serious imposter syndrome every day. Like, can I really be doing whatever it is I'm doing? Am I qualified to do whatever? And early on in my career, my grandfather saw me, and I was like this, I had my hands in my head. I was stressed out. I didn't know what I was doing. And I remember saying to him, I go, I don't think I could do this. I go, I don't think I'm smart enough to do this. And he put his arm around me and he said, Jay, he said, stupider people than you have been able to do it. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. I feel like that's true. There's got to be somebody out there that was stupider than me that was able to do it. I go, and every time I feel inadequate or whatever, I go, that's what I think of. And I'm like, I'm going to do it. So that's the motivational quote that I use almost every single day.
And now we'll print it out and put it on our wall.
That is not only brilliant, it's hysterical. That's just really, really amazing.
It's sad. Well, but it's true.
Jay, you know that we are huge fans of yours. Hopefully our listeners have become fans of yours today if they haven't already. So where can they find you, your companies, if they want to learn more?
Oh, so nice. So please connect me on LinkedIn. I share a lot of nonsense on LinkedIn. If you go to my full name, jayschwedelson.com, you'll find links to my podcast. I put out stuff every single week on Do This, Not That, my podcast.
I love your podcast.
And I guess the two other things. Oh, thank you. We have subjectline.com, which is free and fun. And also guruconference.com is our big free virtual email marketing event. But if you go to jayschwedelson.com, you'll find all of it. And really appreciate you all. I love what you guys are doing. I love being here and can't wait to listen to all the future episodes.
Well, thank you. And the feeling is very mutual with your show. And Joe, if you want to just like lift up your sweatshirt a little bit for anybody watching on
Guru
YouTube or elsewhere.
Events. I have a hat
there
too.
It is.
See in the room.
I love it.
Well, Jay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. We would love it if you would give us a 5-star review, subscribe on YouTube, anywhere you listen to your show, and tell all of your friends. We love helping you out. We want to continue doing it forever. So leave us those reviews. And Jay, we'll talk to you soon. See you next week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
You may be going solo in business, but that doesn't mean you're alone. In fact, millions of people are in your shoes, running a one-person business and figuring it out as they go. So why not connect with them and learn from each other's successes and failures? At LifeStar, we're creating a one-person business community where you can go to meet and get advice from other solopreneurs. Be sure to join in on the conversations at community.lifestar.com. That's community.lifestar with 2 R's.com.